thing that Brother Gunther said, it's a little difficult to understand people unless you have what they have. Down in Texas, there was a fellow used to, you know, more or less have it in for the people that were so noisy and so happy. And then later on, he got noisy and happy too, like the rest of them, and so he was being criticized. So he told him a little story to illustrate his point why people don't perspective like the other fellow being happy unless they get the same habit. He said, you know, he said, my neighbor down there, he said, had an oil well in his yard, and he said, that pump going ka-chunk, 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 day and night. He said, it made me so mad. And that was the awfulest I ever heard. He said, that one day they found oil in my yard. That was the prettiest sound I ever heard. Now, that's right. That's the way it is with the word. A lot of people say, you're just going old, dead, and, you know, denominational. All you talk about that word, 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 word. Well, there was a time when I'd have said the same thing. But now, that sort of ka-chunk, ka-chunk sure sounds good to me, that. Little here and a little there. Just keep pumping. We'll hit a gusher one day. All right. You want to guess how long this will take? It kept it longer this morning than... Not longer than I should have, but as long as I had to, which was quite long. But we'll see what happens now as we go to another phase of the same line of thought. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Eternal Father, again we worship you and praise you, O God, knowing, Lord, whatsoever things we ask in your name, if it be according to your will, you hear us, and if we know you hear us, we know we have the petition we desired of you. Now, Lord, we're believing this afternoon that we are the elect of God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is granted unto us before the foundation of the world by his own nature, by his own desire, by his own decree. And standing on that this afternoon, Lord Jesus, we implore you with the satisfaction of knowing that you will grant unto us our request that the word become real to us, O God, to clear away doubt. Please do not let it be to compound doubt, but let it be to clear away the doubt. Let it come forth, Lord, the way it ought to come forth to help people. Just like when you sent that prophet Daniel, a dissolver of doubt. We know that Brother Branham was the same thing, Lord, because you sent him. And we know, Lord, he has dissolved our doubts. But there is still this old hanging on, Lord, where the hearts and minds are not yet fully circumcised. Help the people, Lord, to just quit asking questions and just chuck the whole thing out where anything stands in the way of just saying and believing exactly what your vindicated servant taught us. We know this is not too much to demand. For if anyone was vindicated, he was vindicated. Yes. And we think of that woman at the well. Just one little vindication did it. And we heard or we saw or heard of thousands of times. And Lord, today we're standing on the word he taught us. Now may we teach it like he did. May we know it like he did. And may it come to the same fruit. And this is all we desire. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. My subject is one of his. And of course, it's that part of a verse of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 9th part, the last little phrase that says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he is not one of his, which is absolutely true, that there is nobody could be the son or the daughter of any father unless that same life that was in the father is in that child. So, if we do not have his Spirit, we are none of his. Now this short verse of scripture actually preaches a whole sermon, and if no other verses were in the Bible, this one verse would certainly seal or determine the destinies of all men, because it actually says Christ or perish. Now let us examine the scripture as to the deep truth of this, that it is Christ or perish, or miss out with God. First of all, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 22-24. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end. If you're not Christ, you won't make it. If you're not of him, see, you've got to be of him. Christ that is coming, Then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. In other words, if you aren't in the bride, if you do not have the real baptism with the Holy Ghost, you will never be in the first resurrection. You won't be Christ at his coming. You won't be in the millennium. You'll simply miss it. And you'll absolutely have to wait till the white throne judgment, and then you will still not become one of those. The best you can do is enter into eternal life on the grounds that you might be a subject in that kingdom and bring your glory into the New Jerusalem, which is the bride of the ages. Now, notice a further treatment of this subject of being one of Christ, what it actually means even more to illustrate, is found in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 11 and 12. It says, "For both he that sanctifieth," and Christ is our sanctifier, this speaking of Jesus, "and they who are sanctified are all of one." They are of one sort. They came out of the same beginning. They are of the same product and the same nature. See? The genesis, so to speak. Everything bringing forth after its kind. So he that sanctifies Jesus and they that are sanctified the bride are all of one sort. They've got one beginning. They came out of God. And it says, "For this cause, he, Jesus, is not ashamed to call them brethren." You notice why he's not ashamed to call them brethren? Because they are brethren. That's right, because they are brethren. Well, I don't think I'd like to call that fellow my brother because, you see, he's the black sheep of the family. What kind of system you got anyway, your house? He's your brother. Okay, the black sheep, white sheep, or green sheep. Little brindle thrown in. Nothing to do with it. He's your brother. Because of this very source. Now, I know this hits the sore spot with a lot of people because they've got their own guidelines and their own thought of what constitutes a relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, drop it. You'll never come to rest. You and I will never understand the justifying power of the Holy Ghost through the baptism with the Spirit until we come to grips with the Word of God and take it the way it is. It's got to be a complete circumcision of the heart and mind. It's for this cause. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Adam, remember, was the same source of Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. Because Adam was the first man. Jesus was the second man. Adam was the first Adam. Jesus was the last Adam. And he was a God. But by his transgression, he sold the whole human race, the sons of God, into death and to sin. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. I think I'll examine it. Go ahead. You just blew it. I may sound hard, but I'm hard on myself today because I'm condemning myself. I'm not condemning you. I've got that same problem. You can see if a creed and a dogma doesn't send a man to hell, nothing will send a man to hell. Right. Not ashamed to call him brother because it came out of the same source. Sing! I will declare my name unto my brethren. Bunch of sinners. Not just mud daubers, literal filth daubers. I'm going to declare my name, he said. He said again, "Oh, behold, I am the children that God had given." Is that the inheritance that God gave him? Yes, it is. The inheritance that God gave this man that redeemed us from death. For by man came death, by man came the resurrection also. This is the inheritance. That's why Paul said, "Oh God, open their eyes. And let them know what his inheritance in Christ is." That's the bride. See? Marvelous depth of the grace of Jesus Christ. So, we're of that sort. Now, let's begin to trace that sort. And see it work out in flesh, because it's got to work out in flesh. We go to the book of Luke, 1st chapter. Verses 30 to 35. What the sacred chronicle, by the inspired chronicler, wrote. And the angel said unto her, the messenger, heavenly, "Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God." My, what a gracious salutation. But notice he knew she'd be afraid.
Isn't it strange how our hearts are gripped with fear to begin to realize that we are the very righteousness of God? That's exactly what the Bible says. He who knew no sin became a sin offering for us, that we might become the very righteousness of God. And we look at ourselves, I'm afraid to say that. The angel knew Mary would be afraid to identify herself with Almighty God in the sacred, wonderful trust of being the mother of Jesus. So he said, now don't be afraid. This news is overpowering. This news is too great. It's something you won't believe. It's something that's in the scripture, but you won't be able to grasp it because you just won't count yourself worthy. You won't believe it's there, but it's there. Now, thou hast found favor with God. Oh, what a blessed voice it is, ringing out by the Holy Spirit. Thou hast found favor, and every heart receive it. I know if we scream, jump, or what we do. I can't tell what inspiration strikes my soul. But if by a revelation of the Holy Ghost today, I could grasp the bare word of Almighty God and believe what He said, I wouldn't worry about any evidence or anything in the world. I know where I stood. That's why Brother Branham eulogized Mary so much. Not like Eve, who said, let's step aside and see what's going on here. When Mary heard those gracious words, she believed. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Notice these are all future tenses, because he came as a man first. He had to come this way. That is why Peter on Resurrection Day at Pentecost said, this same Jesus that you crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. This one is all three of those. Man, elevated. See? And Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Notice future tenses in there. They have a purpose. Now, it shall be called the Son of God. Now with that, we're going to read a verse over here in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And I'm going to drop this in as illustration, not as a doctrine. 16th verse. Who is made, this is Jesus, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Now, I know this speaks of the Melchizedek priesthood, but to me, it doesn't only speak of that. It speaks of Jesus, who was born, though made of a woman, born without physical coitus, whereby he was born like you and I are born. He was born by the power of an endless life. By the Holy Ghost himself, he was conceived and brought into this life. This is exactly, brother, sister, in a sense, by illustration also, what takes place here in the book of John, the 3rd chapter. Jesus speaking with Nicodemus. Watch the 8th verse. He said, the wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it goeth, cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of spirit. This is a very poor translation, because the word for wind is pneuma, but it should be translated spirit. And so therefore it ought to be read this way in a more correct version. The spirit breatheth where he willeth, and thou hearest the voice. And the disclosure of the voice is what it really means. Thou hearest the disclosure of the voice. Thou canst not tell whither he goeth, or cometh, or whither he goeth, so is everyone that is born of spirit. In other words, the spirit comes and goes, just like he came to Mary. It was his sovereign choice that chose Mary from before the foundation of the world. He came to her, and notice how the voice came. It came by an angel, of course, at this particular time. And he brought to her the disclosure, which was the revelation. See? So is everyone that's born of spirit. It's a sovereign act of Almighty God. The Holy Spirit picks out exactly who He wants, wherever He wants. You can have many people sitting in a building, And you may find in one man a quality which you believe, if he could only come to Christ, would make him a most wonderful person as ever lived, to show forth the praise, the glory, and the grace of Almighty God. And that man never ever come to Jesus Christ, while somebody else with what you might consider to be a lesser quality altogether will absolutely come to Jesus Christ in repentance and come unto the full measure of the way, which is the complete rebirth, baptized with the Holy Ghost. See? The Spirit is the one who brings the disclosure. He discloses or brings the revelation or the understanding to the individual. So is everyone born of the Spirit, just like Jesus was. It's got to be a birth by the Spirit of Almighty God. So we have that today. Now, this Spirit of God is given to some. In the book of Revelation, the book of Galatians, in the 4th chapter, verses 4 to 6. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, listen, made under a woman, made under law. How? By the source of Almighty God. He came from God, but he was made under the law. He was made of a woman. See? She was the one who carried him. Notice what she did. She actually used her body as a place of chemistry in order to feed the life which was in her, given by God, to bring forth this very body of Christ. So it is today that God uses us, chemicals of the dust, as it were, to bring forth others unto the praise of the glory of his grace. Now, what do you come for? To redeem them around the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You can see here that the proof of your sonship is that you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say here that God makes you a son by baptizing you. It doesn't say that you are reprobate and now becoming elect. It says that you were a son, but you were a lost son. And now by the Holy Spirit, you're redeemed entirely back to God, and your place wherein you can live before God, praiseworthy unto him, because without the Spirit of Christ, you could not do it. Now, also the same thing is found in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Our Father. The Spirit himself discerns our spirit, that we are the children of God. Notice that. It doesn't say that there's a gift of the Spirit, does it? It doesn't say you've got an evidence or a manifestation that you can say, I'm going to rest my hope upon it. It says the Spirit himself gives you that witness. Why? Because it is the witness. See? God puts it here. He said, you are a son, and I'm giving you the witness, the proof that you are a son. You receive the Holy Spirit, and that places you there. And then it says here, bears witness our spirit, we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Now listen, there's not going to be surcease from labor and problems, but it says you'll suffer with him, and you'll be glorified with him. Many people even doubt they're a son of God because they suffer. See? That's why you can't take these evidences you think are evidences. It just will not work. Now, we see here, once and for all, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. You can have a dozen people walking down the street. You can have millions in this world, millions of them. And you'll see people that you think are, that in our eyes, would be more fitting as citizens of the kingdom of God than anybody else. You might go overseas to some place where they have religion that's very, very beautiful, symbolical. In other words, they work out various things in worship by their dances and by their lives, and might be beautiful, sweet, and kind. And you say, well, look, those folks surely must be children of God. No, sir. There is only one thing that establishes a person as a child of God, and that is God feeding him in with the Holy Ghost. This is it. And that's what makes the difference, the Holy Spirit coming into a man's life. There simply is not any other seal. When Israel came out of Egypt, God said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. As Brother Branham said, that was the token. Today, the token is the very life of Jesus Christ come back upon the believer. That's exactly true, because it has God created that egg and that sperm in the womb of Mary. And there at the River Jordan, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. It was the Holy Ghost indwelling Jesus Christ that authenticated him as the Son of God. Identical thing happens today. It's the Holy Spirit that authenticates us as sons of God. Now, Jesus did not become a son of God. He was the Son of God. Neither do we become sons. We are. But the authentication is there because only sons of God receive the seal. It is their token. No one else does. Now, surely the seal of God today, or the Spirit, is our seal to the very day of redemption. The reason we are of His kingdom is because we are of Him, or we are of His Spirit. There is no other reason. Remember, the kingdom of God is made up only of sons. And this is the exact reason I can see again that in the millennium it is going to be a matter of a honeymoon. Right. 1,000-year rest and honeymoon. It is not a matter of reigning over anybody or everything, but it is all the sons of God, the joint heirs with Jesus Christ, comprising as it were a great bride for the King. And we'll be in that great, wonderful day. Now then, because we are of Him, there has got to be a difference in us from the rest of the world. There has got to be a difference somewhere. Because you could not be and I could not be a son of God and not be different. There has to be different. The Bible speaks of a manifested difference. The Bible speaks of manifesting it. Now, what is that manifestation? What is the difference? We go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to find out about a person that's baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not what we think, but what the Word of God says. What is this son of God like? What is this child of God like? What is he like if he's got the Holy Ghost? Because if he's a child of God, he's going to get the Holy Ghost. Because remember, God gives the Holy Spirit to His own children. It's because you are a son, you receive the Holy Ghost. Then sonship automatically qualifies you and makes you a recipient of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, all the Father gives me, He said, I'll not lose one. They're going to come to me. The very fact that you're a child of God absolutely assures you that you will have the Holy Ghost. Nothing you have to strive for, struggle for, and try to work up into it. It's something different. Now, in 1 John 3, it says here, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now, He calls Him Father. Now, if He's your Father, you've got to be His Son. See, now He said, behold, what manner of love the Father bestows upon us. See? Now remember, a father's a father potentially before he is a father. He's got to have everything there to make him a father. And here's God now, looking down by the Holy Spirit. See, we're looking by the Holy Spirit. And John says, what manner of love the Father bestows upon us. Now what is the love of God? It is elective love. That before the children were born, for having done good or evil, He said, Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. The love of God is elective love. And every child He receives is surgery. See, but now there's your love right there. See, I can't believe this about God. See, the love of God, He loves every sinner. Well, I'm not going to buy that. See, He loves the elect. Right. Hating hatred of God is reprobation. Now, behold, what manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. See? Holy Spirit baptized. Because you're a son. If you're a son, you definitely will receive the Holy Ghost. You've got to, otherwise you can't see election. Election falls down. If there is a possibility here of missing it, then election does not hold. Because election and predestination go hand in hand, and predestination is a predestiny. Before you start down the road, you're guaranteed to be there. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. Why? Because we're some kind of special people? No, because it knew not Him. You're going to be able to walk down this road here just as much elect child of God as Jesus Christ was in a proportion, and they'll miss you just like they miss Him. One bit of difference. You're not going to get one thing that's going to appear before the world and say, well, I want to tell you, I know that fellow's got the Holy Ghost. Now, they'll talk that way. You know nothing of the sort. But you think they do. See? Now, let's go down to that 9 to 13 verse. 9 to 13. Now listen, whosoever is born of God. Now what did I say a while ago? He that sanctifies and he that is sanctified are all of one source. Is that right? The word Father means source. Jesus came from God, we come from God. Different position now, remember. From eternity to eternity. It says here, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed. Where do you get your seed? From God. If you don't have the seed of God, you're not a God. Like I said a while ago about two children. If the girl isn't born of the same man that the son is born of, they are not brothers and sisters, and they're not of that one sort. The girl's not a child of the father, somebody else's father. You got you right here in the same sort. Now, it says here then, his seed, what seed? God's seed remains in who? In that which is born. That's exactly right. Levi was in the loins of his great-great-grandfather Abraham. You know that's the reason why it is when a man died and left his wife without a baby, without a boy especially, that the other brother had to go and raise up a son to this man that died. You know he could actually do that? That actually was his brother's own son by the miraculous working of Almighty God, because the genes of the same of the brothers are identical to every gene in the other brother. Only God by sovereignty takes those genes and bring them where the son born to this man here on my left side is different than the one born to the man on the right side. But if the man on the right side dies, God by sovereign grace will take the genes that are like this one in this one and put them in that woman, and he'll bring forth a son that's not his own son, but the son of the man over here. Exactly what God does. That's strange in the virgin birth. See? Seed remains in it. God feeds in that man. It has to be there. And when the light hits it, he bleeds, see? Now watch what it says here. In that 9 verse. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. It tells you that. The difference between the children of God and the children of the devil is this. One cannot sin. You know the reason that one fellow doesn't sin? Because he can't sin. That's right. Now, I know we can go Nazarene or Pentecost or anything else here and get all kinds of ideas and all kinds of thoughts, but you know the reason a cat cannot go bow out? Because it's a cat. And if a cat goes bow out, you better be sure you've got an A1 hypocrite in your hand. Right. Now, you know what I'm driving at here. It says here a man, a child of God, cannot, he won't sin because he cannot sin. Say, Brother Dale, don't you dare lift up that church. Don't be nuts. I can't lift the church. You better won't lift it because I can't. Don't buy yourself a $20,000 house. Well, you better I won't because I can't. You know, don't take that airplane. I can't. No problem, I can't. This one born of God does not sin because he can't sin. Now, there's a difference between the child of the enemy and the child of God. Is that one difference? The child of God simply cannot sin. Now, that's going to change your theology right there. You're going to have to find out what sin really is. Because the Nazarenes for a while, the Methodists, they said, well, what you got to do is get sanctified, holy, root of sin gets taken out. How if the root of sin gets taken out, how can you backslide? If the root of sin could be taken out, that's the greatest argument for eternal security ever was. And that stone doesn't want to go and chase a cow. Don't get it. Can't chase a cow. I don't understand people's doctrine. They get so mixed up because they just won't take it the way it is. Take it the way it is. Amen. It says he can't do it. Oh, he can't because he can't. Now, there's no worry. I take care of it. No worries. No problem. Now it says this is the difference between the child of God and the child of the devil. The manifestation of a person full of the Holy Ghost is this one thing: he cannot sin. Just can't do it. Now, let's read further. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. See? Now let's read some more. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. Oh, let's go back to James and John and Peter and Matthew. Can't find it there. You got to go back to the beginning. Beginning is Genesis. The first message in the Bible is Genesis. And it says here, this message of the one being able to sin and the other not being able to sin is found in the book of Genesis. This is the message of the beginning, that you should love one another. Notice, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his own brother's righteous. Marvel not, brethren, that the world hates you. Now, let us go to Genesis, the fourth chapter. Now, first of all, let's look at this verse 12 here. And it explains verse 11, see? Well, it actually explains verse 9 to 11, what it really does. Because it says, whosoever born of God does not commit sin because he can't. And this is the difference between the children of the devil and the children of God. And then it gives the illustration, Cain and Abel. And it says here that Cain is not like Abel. He slew his brother. And why did he slay him? Now watch this. Why did Cain slay Abel? Because his deeds were unrighteous. They're evil. Now right away, your mind is saying, that's right. When Cain killed his brother, it was an evil thing. See, you read it all wrong. It does not say that. It says his deeds were already evil, and that's the reason he killed him. You already get the wrong thing. Now let's go to the Bible and find out Genesis 4. You read it the way it's written. Boy, it sure throws light on the Bible, doesn't it? To throw away your commentary and just read what's written. And then put the prophet's books in front of you, stick with them. Now, notice. Verse 2, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, and Cain killed the soil. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering to God. And Abel, he brought the first thing of his flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he didn't have respect. And Cain was mad he was wroth. And his countenance fell. And the Lord said, fire your rock. What's your countenance falling for? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin offering lies to the Lord. And under thee shall be a desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, let's watch this here. The seventh verse, taken from the Septuagint, is what Jesus used, and what Peter used, and Paul used, and I'm going to use it. So listen to verse 7. Thou hast offered right. Listen. Thou, Cain, hast offered right. Yet, if thou hast not rightly divided, hast thou not sinned? Okay, 2 Timothy. The second chapter. And verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The wrong division of the word of God is sin. If he had not wrongly divided the word of God, he would never have killed his brother. Am I right? Amen. If he had not wrongly divided the word, he never would have killed his brother. His unrighteous deed before God was to wrongly divide the word. Truly. Is there something wrong to offering to God the debt of the land? There is nothing wrong with offering God the first fruit, because God commanded the first fruit. But he divided wrong. He should have offered the blood first. There was no revelation to stay with the word of God in the framework. And he did the very same thing his mother Eve did. She never divided right. She listened to Satan and took the word for her. And in the division was absolutely wrong, because though God has said, be fruitful and multiply, he had said his own way to do it, and though they had the means on them to bring about that reproduction, God said, no! You've got the same thing done right today. And the whole sin starts right today. And there isn't anybody born of Almighty God who would ever wrongly divide that word. There's your difference. See, Cain obeyed his brother Branham said without a revelation. He did. He obeyed without a revelation. He said, God said, bring the first fruit. I'll bring them. So God brought it. Or so rather, Cain brought it. And God says, no, I want the other one. And he said, no. Now Abel had the revelation. He brought the blood. And because he brought the blood, he was righteous before God for rightly dividing the word. Here's the beginning. You see where sin is? See where evil is? Not what people say it is. It's in that wrong division, because I took you right back to the beginning. You say you didn't go back to me. I did go back to the beginning, because John said that was the beginning. Now if I were to take you back further, then I would be a liar, and I would be of the devil, because when John said go to the beginning, and he said that was the beginning, and he was inspired by the Holy Ghost, I have to go back where John took me. Now if I don't go back there and go someplace else, I'm just as much a child of the devil, if I go back too far. If you are a child of God, you will rightly divide that work. Now listen, it says his evil deeds brought about the killing of his brother. And that, now look where the works of Cain took him. Let's go to John 16 and see what Jesus said about this whole thing. The second verse, they shall put you out of synagogue. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he does God a service. Augustine Hippo. Yeah, he said Paul was raging against God. So God spoke him. Now he said, if that's the mercy of God, then let the church come against the heretics and force them in the kingdom of God by destroying them if necessary to save their souls. Live on, old Catholic. You'll meet God for it. Why, listen, don't you know the very word Vatican is Vatican, which means the house of Cain? Their own name betrays them. And lets the whole world know who they are. But they're educated savants, they're great scholars, and they're great theologians, they're Montaigneurs, they're Connors, they're Pope. Rotten, filthy intellectuals. Can't even analyze their own name. Vatican. House of Cain. Evil deeds. I don't care how you dress them up. I don't care how much the Catholics pretend they love us and everything else. Stay away from them. Now, harlot daughters are worse than the old lady. I never saw a young harlot who couldn't beat them all. She's younger, prettier, and she learned the tricks of the old gal plus her own. Right. Now that you might know, I'm not stretching the point. That I am not illustrating, but laying down actual doctrine as taught by the prophet in the Word of God here. Let us go to the book of John and see this in the 8th chapter. Verse 47. He that is of God, he who sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Who is the sanctifier of God? Who are we of God? Now listen. They who are of God, these who are baptized with the Holy Ghost through their sonship, hear God's word. You therefore hear them not because you're not a God. Oh, that guy can't be a God. He boozes. Well, I sure admit that's a pretty lousy testimony. That's as you said, God didn't fit. Yeah, is that right? Okay, now let's get our minds circumcised. Let's kick off the covers. First of all, they're too short to cover you. Your bed's too narrow and your seats are too short. You've enjoyed vomit for so long, let's get a new appetite. Fellow gourmet. Say you believe the prophet, you ought to be a gourmet. We eat so much adulterated slop out here with chemicals and all the gunk, even our minds are gone nuts. Let's get back to something that'll bring us back to Christ. He said, you're not a God because you don't hear God's word. Let's find out what hearing is. Brother Branham told us, let's prove by scripture. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Understanding and hearing is the same thing. Understanding and hearing is the same thing. To hear the word of God is to understand it. To understand it is to rightly divide it. And that can only be by revelation. Verse 31. Then said Jesus, those Jews had believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. He said, if you continue in my word, then you are learning of me. You're not learning a doctrine here. You're not learning some creed of ethics or code. What you're learning is actually Christ, and because he is the Word. Now, this is exactly what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16, which you read this morning. We're going to link these things all up. Okay. But as it is written,
I have not seen.
The outer soul will never bring this to you. That's what the animal got. Nor ear heard. Neither in the heart of man the things that God had prepared them to love him. Who loves him? There's only one can love God, and those that obey his commandments, and there's nobody can obey his commandments until they are sons of God, that they're proving it by baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they'll manifest it by right division of that word. Oh, yes. You ever notice how people hate what you believe, and you hate what they believe? Huh? Ever seen that Baptists hate those falling away Methodists, those Methodists hate that eternal security part the Baptist like? We love it all. We hate the cruddy crust they put on it, but we love the Word. We don't hate it. We love it all. Because we got no fight with the Word. We're not Baptist Presbyterian Methodists. We're not dogmatized. We don't have to be. We divide the Word. How can you make the Word fight the Word? How can you hate the Word? Can't do it. You hate this Word in part, you hate Christ. How can there be schisms in Jesus Christ? The schism is made because they divide the Word wrong. Christ is not divided. The Word is not divided. But it's spiritually revealed. You see, like my body takes a life to hold it together. So the Spirit of God holds the Word together. Take out the Spirit of God, it goes apart. There you are. Okay, 10th verse. But God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Notice what He calls all things. Man, there's nothing He gets away from the born again child of God. He just knows it. See? Why? The Spirit of God, didn't He? Even the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man says, and fear the man is in him. Why, He explained that this morning, showing you. A natural man does natural things. He's natural man. I expected better things of him. Are you kidding? He's pure gunk. What are you trying to do? Get a bouquet rose out of stink weed? That's the trouble, people. They don't put the answers where they belong. They don't put understanding where it belongs. They've left God. Now they want to make the rapture. You never make the rapture, brother, sister, being away from this Word of God. Can't do it. Sure. Why? Because they serve the God of their imagination. You've got to serve the God of the Bible. God of the Bible is a God of hate. He's a God of love. If I love someone, I hate some. Well, I can't take that kind of a God. Then serve the God of your imagination. But don't blame it on God. It's the God of the Bible. And it's the spiritually revealed God that's in this Bible. And when you get the spiritually revealed God, you see God standing right in front of you. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Anybody's got that? But the Spirit which is of God. Certainly. If you're a child of God, you've got to have it. That we might know, notice, in order that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What can come by the Word except revelation? Your answer to prayer is no invitation, because anybody, everybody can get an answer to prayer. Well, and pray tonight that he get an answer to prayer. See, you remember, deny the very blood of Jesus Christ and his sanctified, holy preeminence. Call him just a simple person. Yet they'll pray as many prayers as you and I and get just as many answers. The things that are freely given to us of God are those things that are given by revelation. And brother, sister, revelation is purely faith. And faith is not the thing. Faith brings that thing. Now, which things also we speak. Notice it? Which things we speak. It's word, 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 word. The Word of God revealed. If people want something else, to the prophet, ain't nobody got nothing. Well, you can keep it, honey, but I have got something. And you know what? It's getting better and better. And I've preached this sermon 4 times, and this is the best yet. It's opening up more and more as I preach it. Before I'm finished, I'll know more than when I started. Because I'm getting it tightly, I'm tightening it right to you. So don't tell me you've got nothing. Because there's got to be something here to bring it forth. It's either got to be God or the devil. Call it what you want. I'm getting more of God and getting more of the devil. I prefer to believe that I'm getting more of God. which things also we speak. Not in words, which man's wisdom teaches. Notice it is words, words, words. Revelation, revelation. It's teaching. But which the Holy Ghost teaches. A man, Paul, stands up there and said, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm a son of Almighty God. I'm teaching you truth. I'm giving you revelation. I'm dividing that word. Listen to me. I'm saying, if there's something different between me and some of those guys out there, I stand with the word of Almighty God. There is your difference. See? Now, the natural man receives none of the things of fear to God. They're foolishness to him. Oh, brother, flippancy. Man alive, every woman in town, she just goes crazy when she hears that. When Brother Branham died, they sent the book to Joe Pine, and they said, there's a fella, he's dead now, but he wrote a book about serpentry, and that the beast had coitus with even the garden. Oh, they were mad. They said they ought to burn the book. They ought to arrest the guy, but he's dead now. They're so mad over that, they'd kill every one of us with joy, because they think the prophet said some great big bull elephant or some filthy, miserable creature literally raped the woman. My God, have pity on such asininity. He was exactly like a man, but he was big a giant, that's all he was. And I've seen little short women like that. That's right, this time, marry a guy that tall. See, the same thing in the Garden of Eden. I'm not saying she's even, he's a thief. I won't mistake you. I'm just telling you by comparison. That's all it was. They don't frown. A little girl marry a big tall guy like that, fellow built shoulders like that. That's all it was in the garden. You can't tell me anything. They won't listen. They won't see it. It's spiritually discerned. They get their own foolish ideas. Like marriage and divorce, Brother Brown said, concerning polygamy. Why, he said, man went polygamous because of that sin in the garden. Why, he said, there's a rooster and a flock of hens. Some men said, I get it now, rooster and a flock of hens. Shut up, you filthy person. God be ashamed to think those thoughts. You didn't see anything. You thought you saw the mess. You thought you saw. You didn't see anything, but you didn't see things. If you'd have seen the truth of marriage and divorce, you'd have realized, as he said in Ephesians, the marriage symbol here is that spiritual union, and God forgave us of our fornication and rottenness. Don't you dare go back to the world and its word. Stick with the word of God. Amen. And the type of symbol, you men and women, stick with your mates, and don't you dare do it again. Man. No, you can't tell me. There's the difference. There's the difference. Takes the spirit to do it. That's what God said. Now, but he that is spiritual judges all things. Said this morning, you got a filter. Got your built-in filter. How fearful these people are with their creeds and dogmas to listen to us. My goodness, I was down in Florida. Now, I don't mean this to be funny, but I got to tell it the way it is so you get the point. You might laugh. This woman was in there with her friend. And when she found that I was a preacher, well, right away, they began talking about the Lord. So, you know, I have a very bad nature at times, and one is to just let it fly and to see what they'll do with it. Like, as I often used to tell folk, I'm a tongue-talking, eternal security, sovereign believer in Almighty God. That did it. And I said, furthermore, there's no eternal hell. Right there, it's just the gate. You should walk way over here. So when I knew those women were Trinitarian, I let them have it. That I was one of those guys that believed in one God, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ, and I went, you should have been, and I tell you what, they went for their old manure pile and their old barn, looking for old Bob Rooster to cover them. When the eagle screamed, the way they went. That's right. Oh, yeah, they can't listen. They've been taught not to listen. Good Roman Catholic's got to go and pay tennis for listening. If he's got something, God, what's he scared of? What kind of a God you got? If I can't sit down and listen to a Hindu, or a Rosicrucian, you name it, something wrong with my built-in filter. What am I running scared for? I'm a child of God. I can judge all things. That's my test right there. That was the test right back there with Cain and Abel. It's the test right today. See? Now, and yet nobody can judge you. They'll look at you and say, I wonder if he's got anything. They say, I guess he hasn't got anything. It won't work. They knew not him, they know not us. Forever now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear it shall be. The world doesn't know anything about these things. Now, but who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? He talked back to God and said, Lord, this ain't the way it ought to be. Talk back, let change it. You don't talk that. You say, hallelujah, Lord. But that's the way it is. Amen, amen, Jesus. I believe that. That's the child of God. That man's got the Holy Ghost. See? It is this revealed word that gives us living faith. Now watch this. It is this revealed word that gives us living faith. For man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man's living faith, man's life, is the revealed word. See? It also says, the just shall live by faith. See? Then what is it? What is faith then but the revealed word? Yeah. What is faith but the revealed word? Now, you and I got an idea. Do we believe we're striving? That's not so. We get the mixed up kind of belief for a little healing. The mixed up kind of belief for a little this, that. We get carried away with one statement, Brother Branham. He said, you can hardly believe for a little healing. How are we going to get faith for that rapture? You can't, because your healing is a revelation, and so is the word of God revealed that puts us in the rapture. Simple as ABC. We know this is true because Romans 10:17 says, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not what you think the word of God is, but the word of God revealed. Because as Paul said, if we say that God raised Jesus and God raised him not, our faith is vain. If you say you're going to make the rapture, and he's going to make the rapture, and God said, no, your faith is vain. See? Won't work. Now, what is that word? It is Christ. For Paul said, for me to live is Christ. So then what is it? You put the whole thing together. The word is Christ revealed by the Holy Spirit, just as it says over here in John 16:12-15. I had many things to say to you, but you can't bear them out. See, you didn't have the mechanics, the tools. But when he, the Spirit of Christ, how be it? However, when the Spirit of Christ comes, he will guide you into all truth. Notice the guarantee of A-double-L truth. If someone says, well, Brother Dale, do you think I'll get all the truth? Oh, then sometimes they answer pretty stupid. I say, well, you get all you need. Which is really true in a measure. But he said, all truth. Now, if that's the whole body, great. If it's part of the body, fine. But he said, actually, that the those baptized with the Holy Ghost, whether you take the whole group or part of that group, it's an A-double-L truth. And so, therefore, this bride cannot go to the ground or go to rapture until A-double-L truth. The whole of Christ comes into view. By the revealed word. Now, he'll guide you. He'll not speak of himself. Oh, sure. That voice is the same church, the same in the church, the same in Christ. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify you. That's the whole thing. Taking the word of God and glorifying Christ because Christ is that word. He'll show you all things the Father hath in mind. What things? The word of Almighty God. Why? Because, listen, that's the money in the bank. Because word made all of this. Word keeps all of us. What do you want? The word. It's just like money. If money buys everything, then everything is money. Then if the word of God does everything, everything is word. And if you're one of that word, what do you want? See, your heirs to the riches of God in Christ Jesus. All things are mine that the Father, all things that the Father has in mind. Therefore said I, notice, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it. He doesn't say give it, he says show it. That's revelation. Then one day you get it. Showing is getting. Revelation is getting. Revelation is faith. Revelation is assurance. The revealed word of God at this day absolutely assures that you'll be in that kingdom. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'll prove it to you, you'll be in the rapture. Because those who received the revelation of who Christ was in that first bride you walked in. And the only time that you can possibly have Christ as your Savior is the Holy Ghost revealing you. And it all works right down the line. Revelation works. But it's too simple. Nobody wants it. Now, let us check on this point and see if we're right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians here. 14th chapter. Verse 36. Now, what? Came the word of God out of you, out from you, or came it unto you only? Here's a vindicated man who said that he had the spiritually revealed word for his day. Now he's giving us a clue as to how this revelation all comes. He said, I was given it by revelation of Jesus Christ. No man taught it to me. I didn't teach myself. It wasn't our own idea. He said, it's so much of God that if anybody comes, even an angel of heaven, and I come back and change one word, then you brand me as a false one. Now, he said, I'm teaching you these things. So he's claiming the revelation, and he's passing that revelation on. Now, let's go to John, 1 John, and see how it works. Brother, we're going to see something here. Now, 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 18 to 27. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. Wherefore, whereby we know it is the last time. They've always started perverting the word. What's an Antichrist? Instead of Christ. What's Christ? The word. And then instead of the word, you see, you left the word, got something instead of it. Perverted it. Now listen, they went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be made manifest, they were not all of us. We're a mixed crowd, he said, and they got out. Now, notice. But you who say, stick with the word, put your church in order. Amen. I said, put your church in order. You're going to sleep on it.
God.
I said, put your church in order. Is that right? Keep it in order. Keep the gifts in order. Anything the prophet said is right. I don't care what anybody else thinks. He said it. I don't care how much you love a man, how much you think he's right, and how sweet he is or anything else. If that man is off that word, he is off that word. Is that right? And act like it. Haven't caught you not doing it. I may come back sometime and find you. And just pray to take that. You're strong in the word now. Would you teach that way? Remember, the church is a woman. That she can be seduced. You say, well, I'm a real bride. Then you will stick with his word letter by letter. What the prophet brought up, you'll stick with. Now listen, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You say, well, John, I don't know all things. Hold it! If the Holy Ghost in you, he knows it all, therefore you know it all, so he's going to tell you. I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know the truth. Amen, that's exactly right. How can you have that thing in here and not know that truth in here? We're part of it. But the eagle recognized the voice, not like those chickens that ran screaming in Florida. You get an eagle screaming, bless God, and he says, amen, I've been waiting for that, hallelujah. Amen. I like that. He won't be heading for the barn. He'll be heading for the nearest telephone pole so he can get a little higher. Certainly. Exactly right. Now listen, he said you know the truth, and no lie is of the truth. What'd you tell him? You don't take this thing and take that thing. So I just think I'll take both. Huh? Guy comes by here and try to teach you love as the evidence, are you going to swallow it? Oh, come on, are you going to swallow it? Are you going to tell the guy and say, that's what I'm going to tell you. Brother Branham didn't say that. What are you trying to tell him? Well, I'll see you meeting. Oh, you would. How are you going to scramble when it's time to meet the Lord? Well, Lord, I should have done something. You know, I felt so sweet. Well, you're too sweet for my kingdom. You think that might not happen? Fellow down in Florida smarted off. When he knew Brother Brown's coming, he said, I won't shut down my revival. Pentecost he got. When his elders heard it, they said, shut her, because we're going to hear Reverend Branham. He shut it. Then he got the caterwauling because he wanted to see Brother Branham. And he phoned and he busted and he bubbled. And one day he said, listen here, I want you to know, I'm no little fly-by-night preacher, a little church down the corner. I got a big church down here, so I'm never, and I want to see Brother Branham. Well, that did it. I said, I just got to go to Brother Branham. So I said, Brother Branham, you got to see that guy because he said, he's no fly-by-night man. He's a big man. He's got a big church down there. You got to see. He said, oh, Brother Bill, he said, he's a big church for you and me. You better leave him alone. It could happen there. What house did you preach? Didn't Brother Branham preach that sermon of shame? He was brought down to shame to that word. Because they fuss it up that we believe this word. This is the one thing, thank God, I am not ashamed. If I have opened a community church anywhere in this world, there is only one message I would preach. If it would be the message that Brother Branham taught us, but I'd have to leave his name out of it. But I'd preach exactly what he preached. But because I know it's the end time, and there was a prophet in time, I preach William Branham like I preach Moses. Preach the word he gave us. Let's keep reading. Now listen. Who is he who is alive, but he that denied Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Word. He's Antichrist that denies the Father, even the Son. That word in the Greek can be translated either way. Whosoever denies the Son hath not the same as not the Father. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. What have you heard in the beginning? In the Word. Go back to your Old Testament. Go back to Genesis like William Branham did. He always took us back there. Go on back to the beginning. And let that thing stay in you. Because if you've got the proper seed back there, it'll keep bearing till it comes in the fruit of Christ. Right? Amen? Exactly right. I can prove it to you. A woman naked in the garden, and naked at the end. Feast in the garden, feast at the end. Tree of life in the garden, tree of life at the end. Knowledge at the first, knowledge at the end. Everything. All right. Keep going. And this is the promise that he has promised us, a life eternal. These things are written unto you. Concerning them, the seduction. Now watch it. There it is. Seduction. Not rape, seduction. That's the whole thing. People, don't you realize? This is what Paul said, a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're the foolers, not the guys that go around to beat you with the club. Now there's some of those too. They'll come to help them beat you down. Oh, that's that denominator church. Beat you down, beat you down, beat you down. They're Trinitarian club, like, you know. you know, you're lucky to be up here. I never thought you would be. Now, I've got to let my hair down because I love the United States. I'm a citizen by choice down there, and I love it with all my heart. But you've got one point in your favor, and keep it that way. You're up here almost by yourself. It's such a nice way to be. There's a lot of friends and visitors. Oh, brother, it's not going to them. Your pastor knows. I'm talking. Yeah, they seduce you. Yeah, some club you, some seduce you. Now listen, 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Why, you're through the day of redemption, certainly. And you need not that any man teach you. He can't anyway. But as the same anointing teaches A double L things, and is truth and no lie, even though that taught you, you shall abide in him. Now listen carefully to verse 27 again. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not any man to teach you. And right then, as I said before, some smart guy just said, now John, shut up and sit down. You're a man. Well, try to teach me. You say, William Brown, to get to God? Well, don't tell me I can't get to God. Well, I'm telling you can't get to God. Get up here and prove it. Why, listen, I'm not conceited. When I was just stupid enough years ago, I'd say, okay, bring your Pentecostal preacher. Bring your Catholic priest. Bring your sick person. Put them here. Let me stand here and let them stand there. That's so you can tell what's wrong. Let's pray the prayer of faith. I'm ended. I never had thus said the Lord. I had a good Sabbath this thing, though. I was wrong in my thinking. Wrong in my doing. Only one person had thus said the Lord. That was William Branham. You know how I know that? Because they all said different. And what kind of a fool God would be if he sent two men up to the Lord and they said different things? Oh, brother, forget it. There's only one place to go. That's Spiritism. There's no place else to go. No place. No place to go. You had it. Listen, God doesn't cross up, brother. Man does. Man's a mess. So he said, no man teach you. You see? Because this is something a man can't teach. Now listen, let's go to 1 John 4 now. Let's watch this one to prove the point. This is a Pentecostal out here. Who needs a man to teach him? Why, bless God, I got the Holy Ghost. All right, let's watch this. John 4 and 46. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. Now listen, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. Now listen, he that heareth God heareth us. John said, if you're a God, you'll hear me. Now, cool it, John. That's
No, Paul said the same thing. Moses said the same thing. William Branham said the same thing. Now, he that is of God, hears God. Here's the word of God. He that is of God, said John, hears us. He that is not of God, heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hereby you know, if you've got the Holy Ghost, you hear what I said. Then bring it. Love your Pentecostal dogma. You've got to have a sign and a wonder. You've got to have this and that, this feeling, that feeling. This priest and that priest. Priest is a bunch of people in the world. That priest isn't going to do you any good. So I'll just get an argument over it. You know what I'm talking about. He said, hereby we know the spirit of truth and error. Psalm said, if you listen to me, he approves you're of God. If you come to me and hear me and wait on the Spirit of God to take what I say and bring you a revelation, that absolutely proves that you are of God, and it shows you do not have the spirit of error which Cain had. In other words, you're going to try to figure this thing yourself. You're going to listen to God, you think, for yourself. John pinned this down, just like Paul did. You cannot have a private revelation from God. You're stuck. No man can teach you. The greatest teacher of God can't teach you. That's the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't got the Spirit in you, you're finished. As old George Fox once said, the reason people couldn't understand Moses, because their spirit was not the same as Moses. That's what it says here. Exactly. Now listen. Compare this in every age, as I did this morning. I'm to the messenger, which isn't the church of Ephesus. The messenger in Sardis. The messenger in Pergamum. See? Right down the line to Laodicea. It gives a revelation to God, to the individual, to the messenger. Then it gives the message. And then it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him understand. See, what the Spirit is saying. In other words, this man is bringing a revelation for that age. And as there was a revelation for six ages, there's a revelation for the seventh age. And the mark of whether you have anything even to do with the Holy Ghost is the fact that you will listen to that prophet. Now remember, there's going to be a mixed group. But there's going to be a group that will not leave this word. They will not be enticed by science. They will not be enticed by vision. They will not be enticed by anything, but they've got to say, word, 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 word. I don't care how big the manifestation is. Remember I said this morning, Peter stood on that mount. The literal Bible translation, he bare us up. He took him in his arms and performed a rapture. He carried three men by himself in the air to the top of that mountain. Transfiguration mountain. There in that holy and wonderful place, the grace of God manifested. And Peter said, oh, what honor and glory God bestowed upon us that we'd be in the holy mount and hear his voice as it cried, this is my beloved son. But he said, there's a more sure word of prophecy. You can fight all you want over a tent vision or this vision, that vision. My brother, my sister, stick to the word of Almighty God and wait to see what happens. Get carried away here and there. You get so busy carried away, you can't take the unadulterated word the prophet taught us, that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is listening to that man in your age and identifying yourself with that word until God makes it real. Stick to prophecy. It's absolutely the word of God, you know it. Now listen, Revelation 10 and 7, one of our favorite verses, why not? Made up of 3 and 2 7. 3 perfection, now 3 is the number of God, 7 is perfection or conclusion. Bring it to a peace. Now it says, in the days of the voice of 7 messengers, 7 angels, when he shall begin to sound. Don't you understand? And heareth the sound thereof. When he by the Holy Ghost begins to make the Holy Ghost disclosure, so it is not I that speaketh, but my Father in me. He's making his disclosure. It's coming as a mystery. Because it is a mystery. It comes in a way people don't expect it to come. See? And the mystery of God is absolutely fulfilled. And if that mystery is fulfilled, and the last mystery in the bride is the secret why she won't die. The very last one. Behold, I show you the we shall not all flee, but we shall all be changed and caught up. The last mystery. See?
Now listen, what is that mystery? That mystery absolutely has to do with the voice of the prophet. So it's the revelation of the word. What word? Well, look, it can't be this word down the road, and it can't be that word up the road. It's got to be the word for this day. What's the word for this day? Rapture. 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 You missed the rapture. And what is that? Immortality putting on, mortality putting on immortality. Corruptibility putting on incorruptibility. In other words, corruptible is like scratching your shirt here and you wear it out. Mortal is death doom, but it's no longer death doom. Now you got to put that on and swallow up death. Don't kill it, just swallow it. Because death goes on in that tribulation. See? Death is not destroyed until they survive. Now he said, you got to put it on. That word in the Greek is to put on is investiture, is a vestment as an investiture. Taking your position in Christ by the word. That's what I said this morning, Brother Branham, when that sword struck his hand, he screamed out, read it in the seventh chapter yourself, the seventh seal, where he said, it's the word of God. And he said, it's the word of God. Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by. He didn't even know the Greek said vesture. Absolutely. The ministry of the end time is a word ministry that the bride believes. And in that believing, she goes right back to where Eve was. Because as long as Eve was under the perfect word, she could not sin.
Amen.
But the wrong division brought her to sin. Then if the wrong division brings sin, the right division brings you back. What more do you want? Amen. God, if I could get what Brother Branham had for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I'd get this thing across. But there's the truth of the whole matter. See? That's what he tried to teach us. It's this word, the simplicity of it. People are looking for little things that come out of the word. Don't look for things that come out of the word. Look for the word. Bless God, if I can find the bank that never fails, I'll grab it. I don't worry about all the cars and houses to buy. I'll grab the bank. That's what the word of Jesus is. That's the bank. Don't get fooled by these things out here. Get back to the word. Now watch where this brings up. The true bride is one in which the revealed word, the true bride is one in which is the revealed word, which is Christ revealed. See? But how to prove who has that word? Because you got to hear a man. See? And how many times you hear him, you've still got to have a revelation. First message I preached to prove that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Now listen, for he that commendeth himself, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Now there's the secret. One man commendeth. John says, listen, you hear me. If you don't hear me, you're not of God. Paul says, if you don't hear me, you're not of God. Okay, boys, prove it. He said, thanks, I'm glad you asked me to. Anybody can talk. Your archipiece was talking. The rest were talking. This guy was talking. That guy was talking. Alan was talking. And Jackers was talking. And Coleman is talking. And Roberts is talking. They're all talking. Yakety, 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 yakety. Just what it says in the 21st chapter of Matthew. At midnight, a cry went forth. It's a clamor. The altar, behold the bridegroom, behold it, I got it, I got it. Amongst there was one man saying, behold the bridegroom, the man with the authority. Amen. Amen. William Branham revealed Christ, the revealed word of God. Amen. All right, come on, let's find out who's got a right to talk. Not the man that commends himself. See, I could have commended myself a while ago. I said, well, I got look at what God used to do with me. I'm commended. Oh, God. I never had dropped that Lord in my life. I just did it by sheer stubborn faith. I even intruded where I didn't belong. I pastored for years and it warped my entire personality as a minister. I had no right pastoring. I'm not a pastor. If you've got a genuine God-sent pastor, put a ball and chain on him. If you haven't, give him 2 bits and let him go. Give him a pension, get rid of him. Because you won't do him a favor. You'll do him a favor if you send him out. He's not a pastor. And Brother Brown said, Doc, you know you ain't no pastor. What are you doing there? I said, I know what I do. He said, just do what I did. What are you doing? He said, I take it step by step and go over the door. I've been doing it for 13 solid years now. I got so many doors where some were shut. Who's commended? Anybody can talk. And talk's not cheap. You say something before God that holds you to it. Now, who's commended? What does Paul say here? Let's read on. Would to God you'd bear with me a little in my fall. He's there with me. Now he's going to just sort of get him off feet. He says, listen, you guys, how foolish can you get? Did you want me to act like those fools out there? That's exactly what's taking place. So foolish, you didn't. Now, I said, I'm going to have to lower myself to show you. You should have known by looking at me. You could have compared and understood, but no, you wouldn't understand. And now I got to lay it on the table. Brother Man said, how much clearer do I have to speak? I got it, often said to myself, do I got to come down to the club and hit you? Go whap, whap, that side of your head, and whap, whap. Now you're listening. Good, now listen to me. That's what Paul said. He said, I got to condescend and act as though I'm just an ordinary guy with the rest of those fellas. Don't you understand who I am? He said, bear with me. And notice what he said, I'm jealous over you. Would the God be jealous? For I have espoused you to one husband. And well said that very righteous man who believes in believing by himself. I was espoused to God by the Holy Ghost, Paul. So shut up. You just happened to preach the rest. Well, I guess we've got to rip that out of our Bibles. I'm sorry, Paul, old boy, but that goes. Or does it? I want to shock you, I intend you. I intend you. I said, I intend you. Because this is what the Bible said, not what you want to make it say. Paul said, I've espoused you. I make the contract. A man, was a man, a man. Well, of course, Jesus wasn't man. He was some kind of a flying serpent. What was he really? Oh, let's see. He's a man. And you pray in his name. And you come to God by him. And you say, Jesus, help me. And your bitter soul, you cry to him. And you're hoping somehow you're adding against him. And he lends your feet and says, let's do something. That's his name. He died, didn't he? He's a man. Paul's a man, too. And because Jesus was a man, he let Paul walk in his glory and said, share it with me, Paul. Oh, we want to do that. Oh, my, oh, yeah, yeah. I don't want to carry on too much, but you understand the spirit. Oh, yeah, you want to share too. Let's get down to this thing, too, right? Paul said, listen to me now. I'm going to be a little foolish. I got to get down here where I don't belong. I wonder how Brother Branham does. When he said to those ladies the last time in California, he said, I preach to ladies every year. He said, I told you, don't cut your hair. Watch those dresses. And every year you get worse. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. Honest, before God, I could have crawled under the table and embarrassed me for those ladies. That man of God, lowering himself to be like a little snake in the grass, a little nothing. A little Kentucky soldier sort of a guy. A little no good stupid guy that came along to this lovely full gospel banquet to be a sort of a drawing card and stand my doubt with Jesus. Brother, sister, on judgment day, I was soon to be thrown as a lake of fire a million times to stand in the presence of God, having stood in that man's presence after that week. Don't say it, brother. Not because I say so. No, I don't want them to pay a price. If I'm there, I'd want to help you. But you're going to lower yourself until people just use your doormat, not knowing they're walking on Christ once more, because an ambassador stands for the man that sent him. You sit in an ambassador's face, you sit in that country's face. He said, I espouse you to one husband, that I may present you. Yes, Paul is going to present the first church age bride to Jesus. He's going to say, come on, love. We're going to go there. He said, all marked so beautiful and pretty, right up to the throne of grace, to see the husband. He said, I'm praying. Lest by any means the serpent beguile these through his facility. Draw your mind, M-I-N-D-S, not tomorrow. I'm afraid that you'll be a bunch of drunken infidels. You'll be a regular mafia. Oh, you'll be cohorts and aiders and abettors of the most kind of crimes of earth. No! I'm afraid of that. Why, she'll tippy-tippy-toe as though she were the most virtuous, wonderful, marvelous person on earth with her short hair and her slack and her preachers. And at the essence, she's wonderful, the Bible says, weren't she? Well, she's kind of us, weren't she? Now, she gets bragged to me. You downtrodden, funny-looking bunch of fellows are funny, isn't it? I'm going to make them know who I really love. How would you and I think? Your mind, M-I-N-D-S. What you'll listen to. Well, I said what you'll listen to. To what you'll listen to. Maybe you can call it part of an essence. Go check it out. Is blood thicker than water, nationality thicker than this? What is? What is? Color? Your friendship, your family? The prophet of God died not knowing if anyone in his family was saved but his wife. And when she said, Bill, I don't understand, he looked away from her and began crying. He said, oh, anybody. It was difficult, isn't it? M-I-N-D-S. I'm not afraid of my wife. She's a lovely, virtuous girl. Brought that mind to her. My son's upstanding. He's a fine boy. I want to tell you, he believes God. He lives it. What about that mind of yours? What about your mind? What about my mind? I'd sooner be like a badger spiritually digging to get away from the eagle, as I studied this word hard as a tin, to get away from something hungry, furiously, frantically, to know this word, to get my mind exactly as he said. Anything in this world, because that's what Paul said. Well, I see it this way. I don't care what you see. Paul said seduction was by the mind. It's by the mind. If you go a whoring, you got a whoring mind. If you want to see the denomination planted in your mind and you turn away from a vindicated prophet when you haven't got one bit of vindication, that challenge already here in Saskatchewan or Canada. You haven't got one ounce of it in your own. You couldn't produce it. I stand here to challenge you by my record in Alberta, British Columbia, down through the coast and Florida and all around. I challenge you. I've got a record and I challenge you that. And I couldn't prove nothing from you. I challenge you, my vision's right on the dot and they were in technicolor when I was hit when the day told. I know that my dreams were God sent when I told them and God would not fall, but Talbot would not fall and Talbot would side of battle would go. I challenge you, I stood in that pulpit down in Florida, and I said, church will get 50. That's it. I challenge you. And how I showed what would happen in the Algiers, it happened as I said it. I challenge you. Hundreds of people followed me. Day after day, I have no more things of taking than that guitar as a flying young man. Because the false anointed ones can do the same thing, and better. More of it. Paul the apostle was absolutely this man. He knew what he was saying. Now, let's read on quickly here. Now he said concerning the preaching, we read that today, but just skip down here. Listen. He said in verse 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. William Branham was rude in speech, but not in knowledge. So is every prophet. Brother, sister, you read this book, it's the rudest speech in the world. It comes out exactly a Jigsaw puzzle, spiritual Jigsaw puzzle. If you don't believe me, read it. You want to see a Jigsaw puzzle? I'm glad you said yes. Shouldn't be very loud. All right, listen. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox, and the sucking child shall play in the hole of the ass. The winged child shall put his hand in the carcass den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain. What's that? The holy mountain? New Jerusalem. Read, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters shall the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an entrance of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek. According to this verse of Scripture, there is none of us born again, nor can we be born again, till the new Jerusalem. Too late then. It did stop up. Fruit seed. Fruit seed. Make you tear your hair. Make you almost scream. What's that about? Hold it. against the Holy Spirit. Don't get nervous. Calm down.
Root speech? Sure, root speech.
But not in knowledge. Now listen, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you. He said, you saw what I was and you know what I was, so therefore you should listen and not turn from me. Now you're turning. Put you to seduction. And when I was attempting to present to Christ, you took out of my hands. You'll never make it. Well, brother, there, I believe in the grace of God. You see, you at least. Well, but brother, there you see. I don't see a thing, honey. I'm blind. I've got blinkers on. I've got my eyeballs screwed in a certain way. Just look at the word as Reverend Branham taught it. I can't see nothing. The Bible says if nobody's blind as my righteous servant, I want to be that blind. All over. And now, look at that sixth verse again. Though I be rooted speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been made thoroughly manifest among you. And in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, over there, let's see, we better read first of all in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, that's the next chapter. Verses 12 to 15, because these are good too. But what I would do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that's probably left, that's right. Yeah, wherein they glory, they may be even found as wheat. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, and transforming themselves in false Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into light. Therefore, it's no great thing these ministers also be transformed as ministers like this, those work whose ends shall be according to their work, which is what? Department of work, isn't he? What's he saying here? He's saying here that anybody that gets off of this word, brother, sister, no matter what evidence he's got, he ends up in the lake of fire. Now, how do you like that kind of preaching? You didn't know Paul was that kind of a rough tough, did you? Now, Paul, please. Now, you see, Paul, the Lord loves everybody, Paul. Now, Paul, you don't mean to say if they disagree with you, you'd condemn him. He said, that's exactly right. What do you think I was saying? Do you believe a man can get the word of God that strong? Come on, do you believe? In Deuteronomy 18, God said, if I send you a prophet, in my name and the thing comes to pass, you fear him. What do you fear? You fear what he says. Not the thing that comes to pass. That merely gets your eyes on. Thus saith the Lord, you fear that man, you hear that man. Why? Because he is a prophet. And the original meaning of a prophet is not to bring the word of God, it's reveal the word of God. So he does bring the word of God. Now, do you see what Brother Brandon preached the way he did? And when he stood there, he literally sounded like he was saying, nobody got it but me. And Paul said, nobody got it but me. And John said, nobody got it but me. And Peter said, nobody got it but me. So all together said, if you don't hear us apostles, as Paul said, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And if you don't hear them, and you don't say it's a law and prophet, said, you're not a God. Now that sounds awful stuff, but I didn't write the Bible. It's already written. Paul said, I was manifest and could prove my point. What about you guys? Did the word of God come out of you? Did the word of God come to you? Well, he said, you know it comes to you. Now listen, Paul was manifested to be that great worker. Because it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 4-6, which we won't read, he said, I never came to you in the wisdom of man, but I came to you in demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost so that your faith would stand. How? Not in a miracle, in the Word. Because the Word points to the miracle. I mean, the miracle points to the Word. Just like Jesus said. He said, I had not done the work nor the man did. He said, then they had not sinned. But now they've seen both me and my Father and hated both me and my Father. And then he said, concerning the Word, if I had not formed them, he said, they had no sin. But now their sin remaineth. You just look forward. Now, at the end time, we are going to have two kinds of prophets. Both will have signs and wonders, and both will have a message. They've got to have a message if they're prophets. You follow me? They have both got to have a message. And after people get fooled, they just think signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders. Look, if you've got signs and wonders, you've got to have a message. Why? God says. But remember, it's Jannes and Jambres against Moses. One person against Pharaoh. One prophet against many. See? Now, there is one time prophet and many false ones. Now remember, God always sends a prophet with the what?
Word.
Oh, that brother Branham. Oh, that brother Paul. Oh, that brother Moses. You folks will never know. Oh, my, the miracles. Oh, that's right. What are you going to do by now? You got your oh. What to do for you? Well, a miracle, sure it is. That's all it is, too. Where do you go from there? What to tell you? What to do for you? Nothing. You can't explain a miracle. Anybody instantly healed of cancer cannot explain it, and it doesn't do hardly one thing for him except he simply glorifies Jesus Christ. He'll say, that's a great thing. And what about unity? They'll get a healing of a miracle, and they'll say, Jesus is simply a man. You get a miracle of those royals down in Philadelphia. He's a Philadelphia Baltimore. I forget which. That's a little bit of my book. And they speak with tongues. He's a spiritist, and she's a spiritist. And she sees her mother. She's a Greek Catholic, very sweet person. He's got such miracles the doctors go to him. And he prays for cancer. They get healed. And what he do? What about the Roman Catholics down in Notre Dame University that prayed for two boys struck by an auto? One was killed. The other injured. They prayed for the boy injured, and he was cursing God. They rebuked him, and he raised up and walked away. The other boy dead, all spattered on the sidewalk. They prayed, and he raised up. Then they go in the Catholic sanctuary, and they say, Hail Mary, confess to the priest. I'm talking to him. Every miracle's got a sign to it, so there's got to be somebody with a super sign that nobody else has got. That's the prophet. Now, what does the prophet come for? The prophet comes with revealed word. And then when you get the revealed word, you got it. Right? Okay, let's prove it. Now, I've got here at your house if you need my lovely 25 cents, your Canadian money. So I pitter-patter. Hello, I'm here with the 25 cents. You say, thank you, take it. And I stand back there, and you say, now, have you got comb in your pocket? Yes, I got a comb in my pocket. Yeah, that's it. Have you got some little book? Yes, I got that too. Yeah. Now hold it. I came with a quarter. Want me to take a bath? Yeah, maybe. That's the problem. He comes with the word. What are you asking for? When he brings the word, is that it? The grocer boy brings the grocer. He says, hey, son, did you bring the gas for the furnace? I'm the grocer boy. Here's the grocer. Grocery. Well, maybe you brought the gas in for the car, too. What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? What kind of another am I talking to? Grocer, I'm a grocer boy. Here's the grocery. The gas man's over there. He says, brother, Beth, I wouldn't. Or wouldn't you be? Why do you want something like that? Huh? I never taught school this way, don't worry. I went down and hit him. God sends the prophet with his word, so it's the word that God wants us to have, and when we have the word, as the prophet said, God never takes his messenger off the field he's through with him, and he couldn't take that messenger until every one of the mysteries were revealed. Right to the seven thunders. Now, both these people have the word of God in power to prove that the word is true. That's right, the word's true. But who can prove what the truth is? Who can show one word unchanged the way God gave it? As Moses was the greatest, so Paul was the greatest, so Elijah will be the greatest. He will have the right to give the revelation or the unveiling of Christ. Just like Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down. Brother Branham said, if I be that man, let him come and do what he said he would do. And in verity, the pillar of fire came, and then he spoke, and God honored him, because no man's word will do what the prophet's word did. He was vindicated, no one like him. It is here that the very fulfillment before our eyes takes place according to Acts 3, verse 21. Whom the heavens must retain or receive until the times of restoration of all things, what all things? Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. right before our eyes, we saw all that the prophets spoke concerning this day were fulfilled. Just like when Jesus was here and opened their eyes to all the things concerning him and all the scripture concerning him, what? And for that day. See? And now, according to this, Jesus can come at any time. Any time. And for whom will he come? The virgin of the Word, his very own. And so now, what is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? See, I brought you. You're not one of his unless you got the Holy Ghost. See? He tell you about it. See? Show you what he does. What's the evidence? The evidence is being of being one of his who are in the bride are those who hear the word, you understand it. They believe it. They who identify in that word with his Christ. That's their identification. They stand with what the prophet said. And now remember, a lot are going to do it, and they're going to do it wrong. But thank God they're doing it anyway. As long as they do it, it shows they come a certain way. 1 John, the 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. What's the Holy Ghost? He's the Son of God. What's he done? He's given us understanding that we may know him that is true. You cannot know Jesus Christ apart from the revelation of his word. Right. And we are in him that's true. Even his son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God. What's the true God? The revealed Christ of the Word. The revealed Christ of the Word. Okay, listen now. I'm going to quit pretty soon, but not yet. I'm going to show you about the rapture. 1 John, 3rd chapter, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God? Why? We heard the prophet. Now, doesn't that really sound silly? Sure, it sounds silly. But it's true. Yeah? You said it. Your word said it. And it doth not yet appear. It hath never yet come into existence, says John. What we shall be? Certainly not. There never was a time when a living group of people was going to be taken up in a bride rapture. It's only going to happen once. Now, listen. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now listen. I don't think you're getting it. Let's go to the mechanic. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. How are you going to be like him? On what grounds? Because you'll see him as he is. When are you going to see him as he is? When you're caught up in the air. That's the fundamentalist head. Now listen, you cannot be caught up until you're changed. Is that right? Dead come out of the ground, we get changed, you get caught up, we get caught up last. Is that so? Right. Now listen, it says the reason you get changed is because you see him as he is, but you can only see him up there as he is, and you got to get changed down here in order to see him up there. Something's really screwy now. Somebody's missed it. Because you got to see him as he is to get changed, but he's up there. So the appearing of Christ is not what your fundamentalists say it is, that he appears up there. His appearing is right down here in the revealed word, because you cannot see Jesus as he is, walking with him, eating with him, talking with him, because even his own disciples didn't recognize him, and the people killed him. Only one way you can see anybody, that is when he reveals himself by word, and I'll prove it to you. I'm going to use an illustration here that you can do what you want with it, but it's on tape. Now let's just say here, I come to you folks and say, I love Brother Branham. I believe in him. I tried to serve God and serve Brother Branham the best I could because he was a man of God, and I did so and so. And then I say, now you folks believe that, don't you? But it really ain't true. Because I didn't have any real faith in Brother Branham. It just looked like a good thing. I figured he's a smart man, and he could build a lot of churches, and I could go there and preach, and then you see I could make a lot of money. You say, for the first time I see Lee Dale for what he is. Why? Because I told you. Now, Don Tate, I didn't follow Brother Bannon to make money. Because when I worked in the 58, I lost money. And money hasn't got a thing to do with it. I laid everything on the altar to serve him and serve God. And I loved him. And I still love him. But if I were that kind of a guy, and it really was that kind of guy, I'd have you all fooled. When I get up and confess and say, I'm not the man you think I am, and I reveal by words what I am. That's what the Bible said. The only begotten hath revealed him or declared him, which is exegesis, which is the revealed by words. And at the end time, the prophet of God reveals Christ. And when we see him as he is, every mystery unfolded, and there's the bridegroom. That guarantees our change, brother, sister. So then, listen to me. What is the evidence? What I've been talking about. It is not character. Or where is David? Where is David? A man said, I see a drunken sinner. I was a ribald old hoocher. I was a miserable man. A rotten dog. I want to tell you, I went to that altar and I gave my life to God and he changed me. I want to tell you something. I never was a ribald kind of a hoocher kind of a guy. I'll get you a good little Hindu boy. Maybe 30 years now. He never fornicated. He never lied. He never took in anybody's arm. He's a fine, moral, upstanding man. A virtuous person holding his head high because you can't pin a pin on him. Well, he's got the same thing this guy got. Now, where's your evidence? This old bum needed help. He couldn't have been that kind of a dirty dog in the first place. Well, Dave, you're right to smoke your stinking cigars and throw it in my face, your dirty, rotten pipes and everything else, and drink your hooch and run my kids down the street. Who gave you the right to steal my money or anything else? God didn't put in jail when you were a kid. Don't come around me shouting, what a bum you were, now God saved you. And you got the Holy Ghost, said, now you live right. You should have been right in the first place. Where's your evidence? Don't pin it down to character. Now listen. We've got to have character. You bet we do. But it's not just character, because anybody can provide character. But where's David? He's 500 wives waiting for him, and he's taking a little girl out there. What kind of a sex maniac is that? Now, if I want to be rough and crude, brother, I can paint you a picture, you know it. If God takes it, that should be sex maniac out of myself. This man quoted Christ in the first person. They wounded my hands and my feet. David was a man after God's own heart. It wasn't character. It was the right division of that word by the blessed Holy Spirit that made that man stand apart. Sure, he sinned and repented. My sin is always before me. And God said, I'll whip him. When I'm through whipping, I'll take him to the grave. Brother, sister, I want to tell you something. You and I have sinned. And we'll pay for that till the day we die. We'll pay. But one day we'll stand, and his likeness will stand. Because the grace of Jesus Christ, the imparted righteousness which God our Father gives. Brother, sister, it's not love. Oh, I know something that's love. Oh, sure, sure, sure. And what do you do with Elijah? Elijah that had a double portion of the Spirit. Woo! He should have loved, loved, loved. And one day about 42 kisses, how, bald head, how, bald head, how, but he said, God, get up! Got mad a little kiss, little mouthy kiss. He just popped. No. Cursed. Two she-bears not kill a whole bunch of them. And boy, that isn't love. Oh, man, that's the sweetest thing. Isn't that a beautiful picture of love? I'm going to jump up in there. What about Elijah? A poor old captain of 50, told by the king, go and bring that guy in. He said, oh, thou man of God. And he said, if I be a man of God, that fire fall. And he got to get back to the captain of 50, the 50 men. He wasn't even flattered to be called a man of God. He should have been flattered and said, oh, sir, you address me as a man of God? How did that done? He said, bring down fire. Come from. That's absurd. Hey, that guy, that's what happened to him. Yeah. Now, that's real love, isn't it? What about Paul? He wrote the 13th chapter, 1st sentence. Love, 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 love. And one day they go on a missionary trip. And poor old John Mark gets kind of scared and homesick. He runs home to Mama. That's right. And then so Barnabas says, let's go pick up John again. And let's encourage him. Paul said, not that bird. He flunked out. Barnabas said, oh, come on now. Anybody can fail. Paul, let's give that kid a chance. He said, shut up. He had his chance. I said, just a minute now. You've got time for it. Drop off and go get 13 chapters. You're a seasoned man, Paul. Our job is to train these kids. Let's give them a break. He said, I won't give them a break. And their little tea party was so beautiful and delightful, they kissed each other and walked in. The Bible does not say that. It says the contention was so hot. Love, love, wonderful love. What about Jesus? He goes to the temple. What are those poor money changers doing there and they are sold animals? You say, oh, they were trying to make a fast buck. You don't know your Bible. You don't know your history. You don't know anything about it. The truth of the matter, I don't mean to insult you, I just meant you don't know to understand the story. The truth of the matter is this. Those money changers, when you worship the temple, you had to have a certain coin of a certain size. And if you didn't have it, where are you going to get it? And said the brother, Janet, you need to sir, I'll change your money to glorify God. I'll be glad you to change. Pretty good change. You just read old belt. Now, you got to bring a sheep without blame. You got to bring a turd without. What are you going to do? Haul that thing for miles across the hills and deserts? No, you got the fine Christian men. I just use that term loosely because it's our vocabulary. You got the fine brethren. And they say, look, let's not make those poor people bring those animals. Let's have the first best sheep we can get, the best turd we can get, the best animals, and they can buy them from us and sacrifice them. And Jesus lifts his arm back. He took up some cords. When you get old, you know that thing? Woo! Has he had a rope burn? What a rope burn. It takes the hide off. It festers. It forms a rough, tough dead skin. Bam! Bam! Whack! Whack! He said, you made my house a den of thieves and a robber. Now, what's a thief and robber? He comes in another way. And they said, us righteous folk here, we want to serve God, and the way to do it is by lovely acts and words, and we'll do these lovely little things there, and we'll get the kingdom. And Jesus said, no, you won't become a victim. Hello? Where's the evidence now? I'm so pleased. Now look, I'm not trying to be tough and say he doesn't mean rough old cob like me. I'm not saying that. Because God knows I want a tender heart. But love is doing what God would do in a certain degree. Not this stuff you think. I'm only quoting the prophet, and I'm just trying to lay it on a little thicker in case you've been taken away by somebody. It is not power. No, it's not power. For Moses struck the rock when God said, talk. Moses, the servant of God. God said, Moses, on. Oh, he wasn't. He said, I've got the power. Yes, God, I've got the power. Now, you and one. Struck the rock. God said, you glorified yourself instead of me. You took that power and authority, and instead of doing what I said, you glorified yourself. He said, you had the power, you knew you had it, and you did it, contrary to what I said. Now, Elijah couldn't have been contrary to God, or God wouldn't honor him. That's how it came. Elijah could not have been contrary, or God wouldn't honor it. See, but God honored it. It was the thing to do at that time. Because God did not say not to do it. But God said to Moses, don't do it. And he had the power to get it. Now, where's your power? That's wrong. What about Matthew 24:24? What about Matthew 7:22? What about Judas? He had signs and wonders, and he was the devil. You can see this afternoon it is Christ in you identified by your faith in the revealed word. Are you depending on anything else? Or do you believe that this word that the prophet brought is it, and that planted seed in a good ground will absolutely bring forth what God said, because that former rain is the teaching, is the word. The planted word in good ground. Stay with that word. That is exactly what we saw in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 15 and 16, where we have the mind of Christ, and no one can judge it. Now, this is why the prophet said, just love each other, and do the will of God the best you can, and don't fuss. Why? Because only the rapture is going to manifest exactly who is bride. And because there is no certain evidence that you can pin on anybody that he's really got the Holy Ghost. The best you can know yourself, as Brother Banner said, believe it and believe you'll make it. If you're going to make it, you're one of them. If one is going to make it in your town, you are that person. Because only the rapture will prove who is the real Son of God. And because there is no evidence physical you can put your finger on. That's why the Bible says no man can judge it, and neither can you judge another. The only thing judges any man is the Word of God. And when he says anything contrary to that word, the prophet says, and you know it is categorically opposite to what the prophet said, you dump it right there. Right. Brother Dale, how do I know I got the Holy Ghost? There is no certain evidence physically manifest anybody can get. The only thing you can stand on is, I believe the prophet. I believe his word. It is being revealed to me. I see how the scripture dovetails more and more. I am growing in that word and believing it. All you can do, and brother said, as Brother Branham said, you have just like John said, love each other. Love each other. That many times you stand up for the word of God and pray. Brother Branham said, if I get off that word, you come to me and tell me. Listen to this. Showdown is Mount Zion, brother Dickie. It is the rapture. But the only evidence you and I can stand on today is just what the prophets and apostles all did. Have you identified yourself with this word to the very best of your ability? To every spiritual factor, if you've dedicated your mind and your heart and soul to the understanding of the Word of God as delivered by the prophet, and you stand on it and you won't move one inch. And brother, sister, that's all the evidence you and I can possibly have, because every other thing does not become an evidence. The scripture distinguishes that herein is a manifestation. One of these is of God and one is not of God, and those of God rightly divide the Word. I stand on the division of God's word by the indicated prophet. That's all you can say, and that's all you can do. Right, that's exactly what the prophet said. I challenge you, read every book and hear every tape. You will not go beyond what I preached in this afternoon's sermon. That is exactly what the prophet said.